In this episode of Telemetry Now, we're joined by friend of the show, returning guest, and the co-founder of the Network Automation Forum, Scott Robon, to talk about AutoCon 3. Now, AutoCon 3 took place just recently at the end of May 2025 in Prague, and we are recording this in the beginning of June, the very beginning of June, so that way we could keep it timely, keep it relevant, and get it out to you right away. Now, in this episode, we talk about AutoCon 3, some of the talks and workshops. We also talk about what is going on with network automation in the industry as a whole, and we talk about some upcoming events like AutoCon 4 coming this fall. My name is Philip Gervasi, and this is Telemetry Now. Scott, welcome back to the podcast. It really is nice to have you on again and see you again and talk to you again. It is an audio-only podcast, so only I can see you, but everyone can hear you today, and we're really glad to have you back. You are a friend of the podcast, as we were kind of joking about prior to hitting the old record button, so it is nice to have you on regularly and just kind of get these updates about what's going on in Scott's world, but in the world of, you know, automation and network automation forum, which we're going to dive into today. So welcome, and I got to ask, how are you dealing with the jet lag now that you're back in the United States?
Well, I'll just say it's really good that this is audio only, because I don't feel like my body has made it back to U.S. Eastern time, my home time zone. I'm better. I'm still not quite there yet, but could be worse. It's definitely a first world problem.
Yeah, for sure. And for the audience, if you're not familiar with the Network Automation Forum and with AutoCon, well, you're in for a treat today. The event was last week, AutoCon 3 in particular. And so we really wanted to get this particular episode out right away. So we're recording today on a Wednesday. You're probably listening on a Thursday or Friday, the week after this last event in Prague. So Scott, why don't we start off with a quick level set on what the Network Automation Forum is all about and what these AutoCon events are all about before we get into AutoCon 3 in particular.
Sure. Well, the short story is the Network Automation Forum exists to advance the cause of network automation. That's the very short version. And if you think of the term forum, it's a place for people to get together and talk. And that's largely what our AutoCon events are. Those talks are, you know, come in the form of formal presentations and lots of hallway track conversations. We started in November 23 with, you know, my business partner, Chris Grunemann, and I thinking we need to get more people talking about this. It can't just be our two opinions or two sets of opinions on this. And it's grown steadily with each of the subsequent events. This AutoCon 3 was our fourth event, because every good engineer starts indexing at zero. And we're currently planning for AutoCon 4 in November 2025 here in the States. Location to be announced hopefully very soon.
Great. Okay. So on the heels of AutoCon 3, and you mentioned things like growth that you've seen, and you know, I'm assuming that part of that is the growth in numbers, but
yes,
I want to really get, and that is important. I understand. Because there is kind of like an energy that happens when you hit a critical mass, and I get that, and more opportunities for diverse discussions and different hallway tracks, right? Not just the main line there. But for AutoCon 3 in particular, I'd like to hear about, I didn't get to attend, so I was at AutoCon 0 and AutoCon 2, both in Denver, fantastic events. I'd like to hear about some of the highlights from AutoCon 3 from your perspective. Now, I have spoken to a couple of folks at Kentik and outside of Kentik that were at AutoCon 3, loved it. They used adjectives like electric, and actually that was the only adjective I heard, but that's a good one. That is a good one. And that was describing the main talks, and it was describing the energy just in the overall conference. But what were some of the highlights from you, from a bird's eye view? And I know you were in the weeds dealing with stuff like, you know, Wi-Fi and things like that.
Well, the infrastructure stuff was a lot better this time. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Let's talk about growth first and not just numbers, and then some of my big takeaways. And that's like, it's Scott Robon's perspective. It's not a comprehensive readout.
Yeah.
We'll address some of that later. But in terms of growth, you know, the numbers are tangible, right? We started with, you know, 350 at the first event, all the way up to over 600 at this most recent one. And we're sizing for much more than that for AutoCon 4. But in terms of skills growth and interest growth in the community, you know, we see, you know, more people asking for more technical content. And that's good, right? That means that people are trying to actually do more, you know, beyond just writing, you know, a Python script. Looking more into, you know, how do I contribute to open source projects and automation and do more than just the basics, and that's great. I'll even give a shout out to a gentleman named Francois Kane from Cisco. Actually just had a conversation with him yesterday on Eric Chow's Network Automation Nerds. That'll come out in July, where Francois said he's seen, you know, he puts the network automation community into three buckets, you know, the intermediate, the beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And he's seen the intermediate bucket start to fill up and not just have the extremes. Okay. And I think that definitely matches what we've seen with Network Automation Forum. So there's interest in growing and extending skill sets. And one of the things we want to be really careful with the whole AutoCon event series is not leaving the introductory crowd behind. So we're trying to think through how do we bring more technically deep content, but still have stuff basically for everyone. And, you know, as the 80s song goes, it's tricky to balance that. Sorry, I had to work that in here.
No apologies needed, ever.
But so, I mean, the short version of all that is we're definitely seeing numeric growth, and we're seeing growth in terms of the skills people are laying on, layering on for network automation.
And I've got some more.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to assume that that means that the nature of the talks and the tracks and the workshops, I want to get into workshops shortly, that is evolving as well. I mean, if you're talking about a growing segment of kind of the intermediate crowd, practitioners, operators out there doing the stuff and turning the cranks and the wrenches. You know, it's more than just intro to Python 101, but like, how do I use this to solve this particular problem? And that, I mean, to me, that's very compelling stuff. Is that kind of what you're seeing with the development of the speakers, not the speakers themselves, but the, you know, the presentations and the workshops and that sort of thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay.
We definitely put focus on real world solutions, real things that people are doing, real use cases. We really aren't interested in being yet another forum for just advertising and just marketecture. Now, there is some value in those things, obviously, in certain contexts. We just not the focus we want Network Automation Forum to have. Mm. But we see that in both the presentation content and the workshop content. And I've seen that grow and get better in both those areas with every event. You know, more and more people start to get it. And just a shout out to the workshop providers in particular, you know, Kentik, Justin Ryburn, drove one of the 16 workshops that was delivered. Mm-hmm. And we really coach workshop folks to focus on real things. You know, again, it's a workshop. It's not another presentation opportunity. And I feel like the workshop providers are all stepping up to do that. And by the way, they are a mix of vendors and individuals that are just interested in talking about certain things. And that's been really interesting to watch. So,
yeah. When you say talking about certain things, though, workshops aren't, like you said, and not another presentation. So it's typically they're more hands-on, and I did one at AutoCon too, so longer in scope as well.
Right.
And that's kind of the whole accommodating that operator crowd, that intermediate category, where it's like, let's go deeper.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you always have to have stuff in your back pocket, right? Because even if you tag, you know, a particular workshop or session as, you know, introductory, intermediate, or advanced, you're always going to have a range of people in the seats. And so, you know, one of the old instructor tricks that I have is, you know, have some advanced exercises that you can hand out to the people that keep finishing the labs and sitting there twiddling their thumbs. You know, it's always good to like, oh, okay, you've been able to do this. Now can you try this?
Right.
You know, and or leverage them to, you know, help other people in the workshop. Absolutely. I've done it. So you know, and you've been an instructor, right? So you understand all those classroom dynamics for sure.
Well, I've been an instructor for sure, but I've also done a workshop at AutoCon too, as I just mentioned a moment ago. And my takeaway from that is that workshops are varied. Just walking the halls and seeing the other workshops. Obviously, the one that we did was on the fundamentals of observability, network observability in particular. But looking around, they were varied. It wasn't just purely like Python and Ansible and, you know, Nautobot and NetBot and those kind of things. It was much more varied. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, and there's no hype, there's no marketecture here, it's a straight question, what are you seeing in terms of people talking about AI? Considering that a lot of what happens in AI engineering, now this is me with my opinion,
sure,
is more software development than actual AI, because you're using maybe a foundational model. You're not building your own models and training your own models. You're utilizing something that's built and then building the software workflows around it. So I see them go hand in hand very, very much.
So I'll say the interest in AI is increasing. Okay. You know, over the life of the AutoCon series, I was hoping for a lot more AI-related content in fall 2023.
Hmm.
And there wasn't much because I don't think people were doing much in production at that point.
Yeah.
You know, that was when all the hype, you know, the recent release of ChatGPT, you know, kind of lit the world on fire and started the arms race with, you know, Grok and Gemini and everything else that's come to Anthropic, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I've seen interest and content increasing, and I'll point people to one particular talk from Javier Antique of Cisco, who talked about the concept of getting from automation to autonomy. And I can't do his talk justice, but once the information, you know, the video will be published, you know, give it 4 to 6 weeks from now. That's one of the highly recommended talks of things that he's, you know, talking about the difference between what does it mean to instantiate an automation versus, you know, what I'm calling protocol-like behavior and real autonomy. I think that's much further down the road, but people are starting to ask those questions. And, you know, I think the easiest example I can give you is, you know, logical circuit establishment, whether it's SS7 in the telephone network, ATM SVCs, for those who remember those days, or MPLS, you know, LSPs, right? Whether you're using LDP or RSVP to signal them. You know, those things are automatic. You don't have to go through and configure 17 routers to set up an LSP. You kind of defeats the purpose, right? Autonomy, I think, gets us closer to that protocol-like behavior that I think is an interesting and useful future.
Yeah, yeah, and you saw that starting to emerge, not the protocol or the technology per se, but on Javier's talk and I assume others, did you see that starting to emerge at AutoCon 3? I do remember at AutoCon 2 in Denver, there was a reluctance on the part of many engineers to, you know, there wasn't a lot of buy-in just yet. There was kind of an openness to hear. And that's kind of where it was for me. And by the way, I don't blame folks for that. You know, there's marketing departments that come out with stuff and sales folks that promise things that break the laws of physics. And as engineers, we're literally building the stuff that makes the packets go. So we are justifiably skeptical, and hopefully in a healthy way where we're listening, willing to listen and all that. And that's, I think that's where it was at AutoCon 2, but sounds like AutoCon 3, it's starting to open up a little more.
I would agree with that assessment. You know, we've seen this movie before. You know, think about cloud adoption 10, 12 years ago, 14 years ago. Me put my data and my workloads in someone else's physical infrastructure. And I especially remember that, you know, with government-related work that I used to do, and that fear of, you know, putting things into public cloud infrastructure. But then, like, the first use case that really hit me was rendering imagery from Mars missions. You don't want to maintain all your own private infrastructure to serve out all that imagery. That's a burst into the cloud use case that made a lot of sense. you know, we're starting to see similar things emerge, you know, in the AI realm with agents. And you and I have had a conversation about this, but one of the things that clicked with me is agents have agency. They can actually do things, right? And we're going to see more, you know, small, useful, you can think of them as little bots that go do very specific tasks, but there need to be coordination and orchestration and routing of messages between those agents to actually get bigger tasks done. Yeah. People are starting to think about that in the NetOps context.
Well, that's why I bring it up, because the conversation is not about necessarily training models and building a new model of some sort, whether it's a large language model or some other type of model. You know, we've actually been talking about some computer vision applications recently, with looking at circuits and quality control and that kind of thing. But it seems like the relevance in the discussion is around the software development lifecycle that surrounds this entire thing. And okay, now that we're incorporating this technology into network operations or perhaps IT operations more broadly, and certainly they're already using it in security operations and to one extent or another, you know, how do we write the software and the workflows that get this done and then, you know, secure it and have observability into it and all of that? And that's why I see it as such a you know, the network automation piece as the foundational pillar, a cornerstone of what we do with AI and network operations. And therefore, it was just very logical to me that it was inevitable to me, actually, that it was going to be a thing at AutoCon. And now I'm hearing much, much more so at AutoCon 3. So
that brings me to there's another interesting follow-up to what you just said, which is one of my big takeaways from Prague.
Okay.
There is a emerging and maturing conversation on what it means to acquire additional skills, especially software development related, software engineering related skills for network engineers. And, you know, we've all talked about this historic, you know, I don't want to be a developer, I'm a network engineer, darn it. I would do my best Dr. McCoy here, but I can't do either version of him very well. And, you know, there's some identity issues that we need to really work through, right? I will point people again to when the recordings are published. Claudia De Luna's opening keynote is really, really interesting on this. I'm not saying we're exactly in the same place from an opinion perspective, but it really got me thinking in terms of, you know, you can acquire software engineering skills as a network engineer. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. It doesn't mean you have to or everybody has to, but you can go find other things to help you do your job, whether that's just helping you with logical thinking, understanding of the tooling, like using GitHub or GitLab or other repositories, to really help you, you know, move forward, you know, with the future of networking. And one of the big things that hit me during lots of conversations last week is, this really comes back to being, what does it mean to be a well-rounded engineer? Not just a well-rounded network engineer, thinking in multidisciplinary terms. You know, you've got great other pitches on submarine cables and optical infrastructure at the bottom of the ocean, right? You know, you've talked, and that's definitely something that you've added on to from like understanding what, you know, those conditions are very different from, you know, cabling in nice, neat racks in a data center. And there are different physics involved with stuff
like
that.
Well, we hope they're nice, neat racks. That's right. Yes, I gotcha.
Yeah. So I guess to really sum that up and not consume the rest of this discussion with this, you know, we live in an environment where you have the opportunity to learn about anything you want to in ways that have never been easier in the history of humanity. And I would encourage people to think outside their swim lanes, to be educated about certain things. I know you have to manage the tension between specialization and generalization, but you know, walls that you think are there may only exist in your mind. There's nothing stopping you from going and layering on new skills to help you better be a fill-in-the-blank engineer.
I remember around 2015, 2016, when the term network automation became very commonplace, and that was a topic of conversation, of podcast and blog post, very, very much so, right? And though the some of those practices and ideas had existed for decades prior, you know, I mean, and even to an extent, on-box scripting and doing some Perl scripts before Python became primary, all of that stuff existed. But then really just taking a forefront, taking this the main stage for networking did happen maybe about 10 years ago. And I remember at AutoCon Zero, the question was, why aren't we farther along with network automation? Yep. What's the deal? So to address your point about being a more well-rounded engineer, the analogy, I guess, I use, and I've used for a long time now, is this idea that if you are, let's say, an astrophysicist, you have a PhD in astrophysics, and you are specializing, and you specialize in exoplanet-like discovery and analysis.
Right.
80% of your day is writing code to crunch that awesome space data that you've ingested from, like, you know, whatever telescopes and radio telescopes and things like that that you're using. And does that make you a programmer? Well, not really. A little bit, but no. But it's just another tool for you to get the job done. And sure, you have those like pure programmers that specialize in writing code. And that's where I would say, Scott, that's where you're, you know, does everybody have to be a software developer or software engineer? Well, if that's actually your specific thing, yes.
Sure.
But by and large, we use this as a technology, as a tool in the tool belt of all sorts of professions, some of which having nothing to do with, you know, our world in tech and IT and networking.
Yep.
And that's how I've likened it for the past decade.
Yeah, I would point people to a book called The Cuckoo's Egg by Cliff Stoll, where I believe Stoll was a PhD astrophysics student.
Oh, really?
At some major university, and he started investigating what looked like rounding errors in charges on mainframe access via dial-up modem. And that sent him on a path of really understanding how dial-up access worked, and found that they were actually being hacked.
Interesting.
You know, student in one domain, I don't know if exoplanets were his specialty or what,
right.
But he actually found and built additional skills, you know, just pre-laid out. It's on my list to reread, and it's been on my mind, so I just thought I'd throw that out there as a good example.
I'll say that when I was, because as you know, I spent most of my career prior to getting into observability and now AI, ML and stuff like that as a VAR engineer. And I feel like the main skill that I acquired, I never expected to acquire, was like being an expert label maker using those like P-Touch label makers and figuring those out. You never know. But are there any specific highlights that you feel comfortable talking about, of course, since the videos haven't been released yet. You know, maybe a workshop that you sat in on for a few minutes, or a talk or a side hall conversation you want to mention. Are there any specific highlights that you would like to tell us about from AutoCon 3 specifically? I'd really like to know how it was for you.
It's really hard for me to pick favorites. You know, my attention is divided during an event.
Yeah,
you know,
because I can imagine.
I'm paying attention to all the operation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I felt like this one has been the smoothest so far. And I had a personal goal of making sure I spent more time talking to attendees while I was there. And I was able to at least partially accomplish that goal. I feel like that went much better than AutoCon 2, than AutoCon 1,
great.
Et cetera.
Great to hear.
But other content, you know, on the workshops, you know, we look to creative proposals from individuals and companies to bring stuff to the table. And I was tremendously pleased with every proposal and how folks stepped up. Their new entrants that did this for the first time, you know, Glueware was one of the companies that did this for the first time. I had a lot of back and forth with them. They were, you know, really open with how they were developing their materials. That was great to see. I'm not disappointed in any of them. That sounds like very weak praise, and I actually mean it much stronger than that. I feel like we came up with a strong slate of workshops. Those are not recorded. If you wanna get in on that action, come to AutoCon 4, you know, in November 2025. We'll have a new slate of workshops for you there. In terms of other content, there are two other ones I'd really love to just put a little bit of emphasis on. And they were all good. Don't get me wrong. I feel a little guilty picking out, you know, any ones in particular, like I already have. But John Howard of Proton did a lightning talk on exposing secrets, and I mean, you know, private keys and related issues. And with all the security concerns that we have in networking, period, and now with the increasing use of agentic AI mechanisms and MCP servers, I think security needs to be talked about at much higher volume and frequency than we typically do. So it was great to see some of that deep security content be presented in Prague. And by the way, he had a 30-minute talk proposal that we made him scrunch down into 10 minutes. On the one hand, that's just not fair. On the other hand, he did a great job with it. Highly recommend viewing that.
What was his name again, Scott?
John Howard.
John Howard, okay.
Of Proton. And I believe the talk was Stop Exposing Your Secrets. And that would be on the lightning talk on Fridays from the event. The other was the closing keynote by Jason Adelman of Network to Code. We obviously run in circles where we run into a lot of folks who have done a lot in network automation, but he is one of the individuals that has been at the epicenter of so many advances in network automation.
Yeah, for
sure. I won't use superlatives. I won't put him at the very top summit of the mountain, but he's one of a small group of people who, like, no one else has done more than, seen more than, touched more than folks like Jason. And he gave a great historical perspective in his closing keynote, and pointed things to the future. And I'll leave it to the listener to go watch the presentation when it's published in a few weeks. But those are the highlights for me. Again, one person's perspective, and it was great. I can't speak highly enough of how well the event went and how many hands came together to make this work and work well.
Great. And so that was Prague. And we have AutoCon 4 coming up in November, location TBD or TBA, one or the other.
TBA.
Are there any changes? So logistically, the way it works is, for the audience's sake, the first couple of days are workshops. So that's 2 days of workshops. And then the workshops wrap up, and then the main conference commences, and that's the next 2 days. So if you're doing both workshops and the main conference, it's 4 days, or you can do, I guess, one or the other. Highly recommend you do all of it and just really immerse yourself into that world. And then the main conference itself is really a series of talks from the stage, the main stage. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And so
if you do both, it's a full 5 days. And the way we do the conference content, we give you Wednesday morning as unstructured time. It's been a great time for people to start gathering and talking. And then conference runs Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday and Friday morning, because by lunchtime on Friday, people are saturated, especially if they've already been at the workshops on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, I mean, even over the course of those 5 days, there's other stuff going on. You know this, Scott. There's the Birds of a Feather gatherings that are happening,
correct,
talking about all sorts of individual topics and things like that. And so so there's actually a lot of opportunity to connect with folks on very,
correct,
specific issues, or just to connect with folks that are like-minded. I don't know if there's groups that go running in the morning, but I bet you that there's that too. I don't run.
There
I
is lift. A BOF dash runners on
okay,
Slack.
Okay, there you go.
Yes. Yep.
Perfect. So
no BOF dash lifters, though. Sorry.
Go ahead. Say it again.
So no BOF dash lifters. Sorry.
Oh,
you can start
okay.
That if
yeah.
You want.
Well, we are a solitary crowd. I don't like to lift with others. Headphones in. Leave me alone. Focused on the weight. Now with AutoCon 4 coming up later in the fall, are there any changes that we can expect, or is this really working? And we're just going to look forward to an awesome, increased in growth and some amazing presentations again.
There are a couple of things we're very interested in layering in, and what I'm about to say are not commitments, but the things that are okay, under active consideration.
Perfect.
There's been interest in having some kind of hackathon activity. We are exploring that. that's going to need to be a sponsored activity because you don't charge people to attend a hackathon. So if anybody is listening from a sponsor perspective, there will be specific sponsorship opportunities for a hackathon. If you're interested, please reach out to me. I'd very much like to talk to you. There are active conversations on what would happen during the hackathon. And a common theme there would be contributing to open source projects via a hackathon in network automation. That seems like a really useful goal for a hackathon activity. That's item number one. Item number two is that we do have enough room to have a separate track on Thursday all day during the event.
Oh, really? Okay.
We are thinking through how we want to handle that. And there are two main ideas that could be used for. One would be something that focuses on leadership, being able to, you know, do cost justification for network automation projects, things along those lines. And then more deep technical content is another candidate for using that Thursday track. We could even split it up and do half a day on business and leadership and half a day on deep cuts, as it were.
Deep cuts, right. Well, that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
And you know, we're thinking it through, and I'm taking a little risk here and exposing that thinking to everyone. You know, just don't take it as a commitment. If you have thoughts on it and want to provide feedback, you can contact me or Chris Grundemann, and we'll take it under consideration.
That's fantastic. I like that a lot. So we do need to wrap it up now, but before we go, can you just share how folks can find the Network Automation Forum information online and then, of course, information about AutoCon 3 and all of that?
Go to networkautomation.forum. Yes, .forum is a real TLD. Networkautomation.forum will get you there. That has information about joining Slack. Our Slack is wide open and is fairly engaging. You don't have to have attended an AutoCon to participate in Slack. I also recommend you watch our LinkedIn group. There's pretty regular announcements, and Slack and LinkedIn are where announcements will go for AutoCon 4. Those will be the first places.
Okay. And if I can add, I would also, to our audience, check out the Network Automation Forum's YouTube channel. I have gone there many a time and watched presentations from various AutoCons, sometimes multiple times, just because I was learning something and I'm like, slow down, professor, I got to write that down. So a lot of great information there. Scott, thanks so much for joining me today. And to our audience, if you have an idea for a show or if you'd like to be a guest on Telemetry Now, I would like to hear from you. Please reach out at telemetrynow@kentick.com. So for now, thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.